was in Los Angeles last night preaching there, and kind of drove after the service kind of late, and got here in town was about, I think, midnight almost. 1 in the morning, and the church put me in a nice hotel there in Palm Springs. Thank you, Pastor. And so I didn't have the directions, and I wake up this morning, and I wake up was 8:15. I said, "My God, help me!" And I just passed through the shower, get in the car, and I didn't have the time to go in the computer and just, you know, look at the Google the address. You know what I'm talking about. And I know the church was in Victoria Street, that I remember. And I said, "Lord, help me! You know, I got to get there. I don't have time." So I asked somebody, "I'm going to Cathedral City." They said, "You take a Ramon." Ramon Drive all the way. So I got in Ramon Drive. I said, "God, is Victoria going to cross from Ramon Drive or what? What should I do?" You know, and I'm driving. It's almost 9 o'clock. And I said, "God, you know, got to do something." Then I saw a police car. I said, "That's the guy." And he was parking there, you know, in the corner. And they stopped my car. I said, "Good morning, officer. Good morning." I said, I'm looking for Victoria Drive. He said, "You going to the Hispanic church?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Are you the guest speaker?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Maybe he's going to tell the message that I'm going to preach." And he said, "Oh, God bless you, sir." I said, "Thank you, officer." He said, you just go Ramon and turn right. I think it's what Del make a right and Del Palm and then left to a right there. I said, "Thank you, officer." He said, "Sir, you have a great service, you know." I said, "God, I'm glad that the police know that where you guys are." So that was a blessing. I bring greetings from Brazil. I bring greetings from my family, my wife, the ministry that we have there with Teen Challenge. I work with a Teen Challenge. We have a rehabilitation home for kids that are drug addicted. A tremendous ministry in São Paulo. You got to have a little bit of patience with me this morning because English is not my first language. Actually, it's my fourth language. So I am in the process of learning. So help me this morning. Most of my ministry I do in Portuguese and also in Spanish. If you have your Bibles, would you stand with me and we're going to read the book of Acts, the first chapter. I'm going to read only one verse this morning. Acts 1:8. "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be my witness unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall become a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I'm going to pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will touch you this morning. There is not just one more service that you came, not just one more Sunday morning, but when you leave this place this morning, it's my goal that you will live different than when you came. Maybe this week has been a difficult week. Maybe you went through some struggles and difficulties, but today is a day of renewal. Today is a day of revival. Today is a day of blessing. Father God, we pray for each and every person that came to this service. We ask God that you will touch everybody that is here this morning. And when they leave the temple, they will not leave as they come. But a special miracle will begin to take place. We declare a day of salvation, a day of healing, a day of deliverance. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you heard about Brazil, I am sure you heard about soccer. Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, and all that stuff. Right now, in 2-3 months, we're going to have the World Cup in South Africa. Every 4 years, all the games, the players from all over the world, they get together in the city. And this year is in South Africa. In 2014, they will be in Brazil. And we're looking forward to win one more World Cup. If you can pray about that, we appreciate. If you heard about Brazil, I'm sure you heard about Carnival. The big thing that they have there, dancing. It's Carnival is like Halloween, but it's worse than Halloween because it's 3 days and three nights that the people go to the street to dance and they don't come back to the house. And if it was just dancing, that's fine, but everything that can happen, it will happen on those 3 days. But if you heard about Brazil, I'm sure you heard about witchcraft. When the Portuguese people came to Brazil. Brazil is the only country in Latin America that does not speak Spanish. All the countries in Latin America are Spanish-speaking. But Brazil, we had the people from Portugal. And when they came to Brazil, they brought slaves from Africa to work there. In Africa, there are several countries that speak Portuguese, Angola, Mozambique, Guinea-Bissau, Cape Verde. And the Portuguese people brought the slaves from Africa. And the slaves brought with them their customs, their religion, the witchcraft, the spiritism, and voodoo, different types of religion from Africa. And when they got in Brazil, they matched the religion from Africa, spiritism, with the Catholicism from the Portuguese people. And it creates something that we call in theology syncretism. Is that a right word? Syncretism. Syncretism is when you put two religions together, and with the mix will born a third religion. We call in Brazil Macumba, Candomblé. Those are different types of witchcraft. That is a mixture of Spiritism from Africa and Catholicism from Portugal. When I was a little boy, about 7, 8 years old, my family was attending one of those temples of the Satanic Church. And the reason why we were going there, it was because my mom was sick. And they told us that if we go to the Satanic Church, she could be healed because they will perform healing services there. So as a little boy, I remember going to the Satanic Church many times on the Friday evening after the service. The priest will ask us to go to the cemetery. At midnight, we should be in the door of the cemetery, and we'll have some candles, different type of candles. We'll have some dead chicken, some alcoholic beverage, tequila, whiskey. And exactly at midnight, we'll stop in the door of the cemetery. We will we'll put fire on the candles and begin to worship the devil, trying somehow to be a friend of the devil, because we thought if we could be a friend of the devil, he will heal my mother. But I found a long time ago that you cannot be a friend of the devil, because he is not fair. He does not play fair. He's a liar.
So there is no way that you can have a relationship with the demons and relationship with God. There is no way that you can be in the Word and in the church. Or you are in one side or you are in the other side. And we're trying to play this game with the devil. Going to the satanic church, worshiping the devil. Truly, we were Catholics. Católicos, apostólicos, romanos, non praticante. How do I say that in English? We're going to the Catholic church, but we're not practitioners. We call ourselves Catholics because in Brazil, it's not very nice for you to say that you are with the witchcraft church. You know that you are doing stuff to kill other people. That's not very nice. So if you ask the people, most of the people, they say they're Catholic. You know, everybody's Catholic in Brazil. We're Catholic. But actually, we're Catholic during the days, and at the night, we were in the witchcraft church. We're more in the witchcraft than in the Catholic church. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. One time I was there in the temple, me and my mom, and the priest looked to my mom, and he said, Mom, I see a special light in this boy. And he said, every time that you come to the temple, you must bring this boy. He said, because I'm prophesying that one day when he grows up, he will also become a priest here in the satanic church. Sangre de Cristo tiene poder. The blood of Jesus can deliver us. So that was the plan of the devil. In the devil agenda, it was written, Roger is going to become a priest in the satanic church. That was the plan for the devil for my life. I'm sure the devil had a plan for your life. But we didn't know what to do. Totally lost. No peace, no hope. Until one day, a missionary came to our door and knocked on our door. In the church, we have different ministries. We have pastors, we have evangelists, we have prophets, we have priests, we have doctors and teachers. But one very special ministry in the church is the ministry of the missionary. Missionaries are special people in the kingdom of God. They are like Marines in the army of God. They are the first one to get in the battlefield. When a missionary goes to a city, there is no church. If there is no church, there is no pastor. If there is no pastor, there is no sheep. There is none. The missionary is the first one to arrive. The missionary is the one that takes the word of hope where there is no hope. The missionary is the one that takes the good news of the gospel where there is only bad news. The missionary is someone that will take the light of the gospel where there is only darkness. So, the people that has a missionary vision, the church that has a missionary vision is a blessed church. I know Templo Victoria, I know Pastor Alex has a missionary vision, and God will continue bless you because you love missions. When you give to missions, when you're sitting your tithes and offering in the missions department, there is a special blessing from God. And let me make a stop here to ask you, please, continue to give to the missionary project of this church. Because thousands, millions of people depend on the word of God. And a missionary came. He told my dad, he said, you know, there is a revival going on in the Assemblies of God Church in São Paulo. And he said, if you take your wife there, Jesus Christ is going to heal her. Wow. He spoke with authority. It seems that he knew something that we didn't know about. And my daddy said, yes, we will be there. We go there next week.
when the missionary left, my father said, you know, we're going to go there because we don't have nothing to lose. Because actually everything was lost. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. There are people that they have tried everything. They have asked somebody to read their hands. They have read the horoscope and the stars and all that stuff. And everything has failed. My friend, if you tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. Because Jesus will never fail. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, the name of Jesus, He has power. And we went to the church. That Sunday morning. And the end of the service, the missionary said, is there anybody that want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? He want to pray for you. He said, if you need a prayer for healing, I'm going to pray for the healing of your body. He said, but before I pray for the healing of your body, I want to pray for the healing of your soul, your spirit. He said, is there anybody that would like to accept Jesus as your Savior? And then my mother lifted up her hand. And then my father lifted up his hand. I saw that they both lifted up their hands. I said, I'm going to lift up my hand too. And we came to the altar. And we came to the altar. The missionary put his hands over my mom. And she fell on the floor. She was possessed by legions and legions of demons. And he began to pray and cast out the demons in the name of Jesus. How many people know that there is power in the name of Jesus? How many people know in the name of Jesus the blind can see? In the name of Jesus, the lame can walk, the deaf can hear. In the name of Jesus, demons will flee away. In the name of Jesus, hell will shake. When you claim the name of Jesus, there is a big earthquake in hell. Do you know that? Much bigger than the one that we just had in South America, in Chile, 2 weeks ago, 8.8, when you claim the name of Jesus. Oh, there is a 10-point, a 20-point earthquake in hell. Somebody's claiming the name of Jesus, and hell begins to shake. The demons will flow away. And as he was praying for my mom, all the shackles that was holding her, the shackles were broken by the power of the name of Jesus. And not she was not just she was delivered, but she was healed. You know what the satanic church then could not make for us for 5 or 6 years, Jesus did in less than 5 minutes. Oh, come on, give him a clap offering this morning. Help me wake. And a miracle, listen to me, a miracle began to take place. He began to come to the church. There was a radical change from the water to the wine. Later on, I was 11 years old. Was baptized in the water, baptized by immersion, because they told me that I was baptized before, you know, even though I don't remember and nobody asked my permission, but I was baptized in the other church, you know, by, what do you call it, spring? But the Bible does not talk about baptism by spring water. The Bible talks about baptism by immersion. You know, immersion, you take the brother and you cover him with water. You know, and if he's a bad brother, you should leave him 5 minutes under the water. No, I'm just kidding. 5 minutes, he will send him to the glory. Oh, if the pastors knew who was going to behave bad in the baptism, it could be taken care. It's baptized with water. I remember that I was baptized in the month of July. I remember that it was July because the water was very cold. in South America, July is winter, is our winter. For you guys here is summer, but there is winter. We're just coming out of summer right now. And the water was very cold. Man, that day I remember I was baptized in the river. It was cold. But when I left, I felt the warmth from the Spirit of God. 6 months later, I was in a prayer meeting, praying, seeking God. And suddenly, I began to speak a new language. Even though I was praying in Portuguese, my mother language, I was thinking in Portuguese, but suddenly I began to speak this language, and I spent the whole night in that prayer meeting just speaking this language. And in the next morning, I asked Pastor, I said, Pastor, what happened? And he said, Roger, you have been baptized with the power of the Holy Ghost. I said, wow. I said, and what should I do now, Pastor? And then my pastor called to the scripture that I just read to you, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit that will come upon you, and you shall become witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I said, Pastor, and what that means? He said, Roger, you gotta begin to preach. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit because now you should become a witness. That was the purpose, that you were filled with the Holy Ghost, to become a witness. I said, preach. He said, yes, you're going to be preaching. You gotta start preaching. I said, orale. I said, I want to preach. I want to preach. I like to see people there in front talking. And I said, Pastor, this coming Sunday, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, am I going to be preaching here in the church? Because we were attending a very small church there in São Paulo, a little assembly of God. I say small church because at that time we only had about 400 people in the church. Little, because in Brazil we have temples that has 10, 20, 30,000 people in one temple. A friend of mine is building a church right now for 70,000 people. Pastor Alex, can you imagine that? 70,000 people. It's amazing. The Assemblies of God in Brazil, they have today over than 20 million members. It's amazing what God is doing in Brazil. And we were there in this little church with 400 people. And I said, Pastor, so Sunday I'm preaching here in the church. He said, no, young man, you cannot preach here. I said, Pastor, but you know, Chico Bendito, where am I going to preach? Because I thought to preach was only in the church, you know. And he said, you know, our church was across the street from a major park. And he said, you know, you see the park back there? I said, yes. He said, you know, you're going to get your Bible, and now you're going to go to the park. And he said, you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you have my authorization to preach anywhere. So you go to the park, you take your Bible, and you begin to preach in the park. He said, tomorrow when you go to the work, when you go to the school, you preach in the bus, in the metro, you preach in the bus. He said, Roger, if you get arrested, you go to jail, you preach in jail. He said, if you go to the hospital, you preach in the hospital. He said, from now on, you are authorized, you have my authorization to preach anywhere. Only here in the church that you cannot preach. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. Because there are some people that they only want to preach here in the church. Hello? I said, hello? Good morning? God is talking with you. Some people say, I'm here in this church for like 6 months, a year. And the pastor never gave me opportunity to minister here. And this guy, you know, is coming, I don't know from where, he cannot even speak a good English. And And the pastor brought him, and you know, and me, you know, I haven't been here for much more than that. If you keep with this attitude, you're going to stay there for another year sitting there. Some people think to preach, they have to have a degree. Some people say, when I have a degree from LABI, when I go to the Bible school and have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, a doctor's degree, a PhD. And you say, you know, what is a PhD? I don't know. If you don't know, I don't know. And you say, when I get a degree, I'm going to become a preacher. Oh, if you can go to the Bible school, that's great. That will help you a lot. It has helped me, but it's not necessary. Some people say, well, when I become a leader in the church, when I am the youth leader, the leader of the Royal Rangers, or the men's leader, when I have, when the pastor give me a usher position that I can use, the little plaque and say that I'm usher, then I'm going to start to preach. Oh, no, when I become a reverend, when I get ordained by the general council and become a licensed ministry, ordained minister. When I have a card, that say reverend, then I'm going to start to preach. Who told you that for you to preach, you need a card? And it's not in the Bible that you have to have a card to preach, no. And I begin to preach. Was 12 years old. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know nothing about theology. But you know, I had a testimony. Jesus did something in my life, and I had something to share. For you to preach the Word of God, for you to become a witness, you only need two things. Number one, you need a calling. Call. Say with me, call. And then when I'm talking about a calling, I'm talking about una chamada, the céu, a calling, a wish, a desire to win souls, a burning desire in your heart to win souls. But I have good news this morning. Everybody that are here, you have been called by God. So you have the first qualification. Second thing that you need to preach is a testimony. Say a testimony. When I talk about a testimony, I'm talking about a life of holiness. I'm talking about a life in the altar. Because this thing here is a serious business. You know, it's not a joke. If you're not ready, you know, in the first corner, the devil will come and give you a knockout. So you got to have a life of holiness in the altar. But when I'm talking about a testimony, I am also talking about something that God has done in your life. A personal testimony. Some people think that to preach, you need a outline with introduction, conclusion. You got to understand about hermeneutic and homiletic. You say omelette to do eggs. No, I'm not talking about omelette. Homiletic and now, no. What you need is a testimony. You see, what the people want to hear is not some theology. It's not how many Bible verses you know. What they want to hear is, what has God done in your life? What has God done in your life? You see, in Latin America and in Brazil, most of the people, I'll say probably over the 80%, they heard about Jesus. They know about Jesus because of the Catholic background. But the question in Brazil is not if Jesus is the Son of God. Everybody knows that. But the question that we face when we are in the street is your God more powerful than my God? Can Jesus do something better than what they do in the satanic church? Because in the satanic church, believe me, they do some crazy stuff there. They do healing. They do operation, a bunch of crazy stuff. And the question is, can Jesus do that? Is your God more powerful than my God? So you have to have a testimony to testify and say, yes, the God that I believe is more powerful than your God. Because when my God heals me, it will stay forever and ever. So you have a testimony. God has done something in your life. I do not have time this morning to ask about your testimony. But I'm sure that everybody that is here, if I would ask you to come here and share, you will have something to share, a miracle that has happened in your life. Even the, I see some boys and girls, teenagers that are here, young people, you have a testimony. God has done something in your life. Even though if you're 11, 12, 13 years old, I'm sure you have a testimony. Maybe it's not like my testimony when I was 12 years old. But I'm sure you have something to share with your friends there in the high school, in the college. So, you have the calling, you have the testimony. You're ready to preach the word of God. So starting today, from now on, you have my authorization to preach anywhere. In Cathedral City, in Palm Springs, you go in the name of Jesus. And if you want, I even can give you a card and sign in the back and say that you have my authorization. Just wait for me to leave the city so you show the card after I leave the city. Only here in the church, I'm not authorizing you to preach here. Please understand. Only the boss, the big boss, he can authorize you to preach here. But outside, you go in the name of Jesus and begin to bear witness in the name of Jesus. Oh, everybody that is here this morning, I want to challenge you that you will become a missionary, an evangelist. That you will win souls for Christ. This is the reason why we come to the church, is to share the gospel with other people. You know, this year I am celebrating 31 years of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow, this is excited! And from those 31, over than 20 years, I'm full-time in ministry. It's so exciting that you stop here and have the opportunity to share the gospel. You know why? Because I was not supposed to be here. Remember, there was a prophecy back there. In Satan's agenda, it was written, Roger is going to become a priest in the satanic church. That was the plan from the devil to my life. But one day, oh, what a beautiful day, Jesus came and he took the book from the devil. And when where was this written, Roger is going to be a priest in the satanic church, he scratched that. And he wrote, I believe with red ink, Roger is going to be a missionary. He's going to travel to the nations of the world. He will be my ambassador. He will represent my kingdom. And Jesus signed, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. And not just his sign, but his seal with his spirit. And he said, it's done. It's done. The devil had a plan for you. A big plan. Some of you, before you come to the church, you are addicted to drugs and alcohol and a bunch of stuff. But Jesus came to your life. And Jesus changed the plan that the devil had.
And the plans that God has for you this morning are outstanding plans, are plans for good, are plans for your hope. My friend, I come to tell you this morning that God is ready to use you. He needs your help to reach out to this city. The question this morning is not if you're capable. Please understand what I'm saying. God is not asking, what is your degree? Do you have a degree? Can you speak good? No, that's not the question. God is not asking about your abilities. Are you able? No, that's not the question. You know what is the question this morning? Are you available? That's the question. Are you available? Can he count with you to become a witness? Can you take time off your busy schedule to share the gospel? Are you available? Can you fit the plan of God in your schedule? That's the question this morning. I'm here to challenge you to become a witness, to share the gospel, to be a missionary. You do not need to go to a foreign land. No, to be a missionary, you do not need to speak another language. No, you can be a missionary in Jerusalem. You say, Roger, where is Jerusalem? Cathedral City is your Jerusalem. Palm Springs is your Jerusalem. Imperial Valley is your Jerusalem. If you have papers and you can cross the line, Mexicali is your Jerusalem. Tijuana, Baja California, Ensenada. God has put you in this city, in this county, with a purpose. There are hundreds and hundreds of people in this city that needs to hear about the good news of Jesus, about the power of God. Most of the people in America, they know about Jesus. They know about God. Over the 90%, 95%. But they do not know about the power of God. And you know the power of God. You know what the power of God can do in your life. So may I challenge you this morning to become a missionary, to become an evangelist. May I challenge you to go to the nations and preach the gospel of Jesus. How can you do that? You do starting here in your city. Become a witness here. And as you're here in the city, you can also help the local church, the missions project of Templo Victoria, by praying for the missionaries. The last time that I was here, it was a missions convention night, and they were talking about the missionaries that this church is supporting. I remember I met a brother from Vietnam, Brother Cao was here that night. Oh, by helping this church, you can help the ministry in Vietnam, because the church is helping Vietnam. You can help the ministry in Mexico. This morning, before I pray for you, let me ask you to pray for our ministry in Brazil. Before we pray this morning, I want to ask you to put my name in your prayer list. This is the flag of Brazil. Bandeira. The most beautiful flag in the whole entire world. Don't worry. Your flag is number one. American flag is number one. Don't worry. We're not going to fight this morning because of the flag. Number one, the American flag. Do we have some Americans here who can say amen? Come on, help me. The Mexican flag, Mexico. Dios bendiga Mexico. And Central American, your flag is number one, don't worry. But the Brazilian flag is more beautiful.
I want you to remember to pray for the ministry in Brazil, one of the largest countries in South America. I work with a ministry called Teen Challenge. I'm sure you heard about Pastor David Wickerson. Over than 50 years ago, 1958, he came to the city of New York and began to preach for the gangs there. I don't know if you read the book or if you saw the movie The Cross and the Switchblade. I brought the DVD this morning, the Cross and the Switchblade. It tells the story of Nicky Cruz, a gangster from New York that was touched by the power of God. And over than 50 years ago, we started this ministry that we call Teen Challenge. If you haven't seen the movie, may I ask you to get a movie? You stop by my table this morning. I have some movies in English and else in Spanish. It's a powerful movie. If you know somebody that are involved with drugs and gangs, it's a tremendous testimony in this movie. And Pastor Wickerson started this ministry, a ministry with the Assemblies of God. And today in Brazil, we have over than 80 centers, 80. All over the country, where we're taking kids from the streets, where people that are drug addicted, people that has no hope, and we bring them to our center. And usually when they get there, it takes 2-3 weeks just to, disintoxicate them, just to clean them. And usually on the first, second month, they accept Jesus as their personal Savior. In the third, fourth month that they are in the program, they're baptized in the water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the 6-7 months they're there, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. When they live in the program at 9 months, they are evangelists, they are missionaries, they are marines in the kingdom of God. They will go back to the streets of Rio de Janeiro, São Paulo, and they will tell there is something more powerful than cocaine, than heroin, than crack. It's Jesus Christ who can keep me high all the time. Oh, hallelujah! Woo! Come on, get excited with me this morning. I don't know about you, but I am excited. And I didn't have breakfast. Imagine if I had breakfast. Oh, my God. I wish I could take you with me to Teen Challenge Center in Brazil and you see some of the miracles that we see there. To tell you about a girl, her name was Erica. Erica had a daughter, a baby daughter. Her name was Paloma. Little Paloma had about two, three months old. And Erica, the mother, was breastfeeding Paloma. And then the grandma began to see that the little baby girl was shaking, was very agitated. And grandma, that knows her daughter, said, "You know, Erica, you're doing drugs again. You went back to the drugs." Erica said, "No, Mama, I'm not doing drugs." Grandma said, "No, you're doing drugs. You're using crack again, Erica." She said, "No, Mama, I'm not doing drugs anymore. I stopped." She said, "No, you're a liar. I see the babe. I see little Paloma. She's all agitated. And it's not normal for her to be like that. You're doing drugs." You know what was happened? This little baby girl, 3 months old, she was addicted to crack. Oh, my God, the devil is filled. And the girl was a crack addict. And the only way that this little girl was going to be calm and will not cry was when the mother will breastfeed her, because the crack will come through the milk. Oh, my God. I'm talking about babies that are addicted. I'm talking about kids 9, 10 years old, they are living in the streets, are drug addicted. We have over than 1 million kids there are in the streets of Brazil. So Grandma said, you know, I'm going to get you to a place. And Grandma began to look, and somebody told her, you know, there's a pastor called Rogério Silveira. He has a home for ladies that are drug addicted. Somebody told this grandma about Teen Challenge, and Erica came to Teen Challenge Center. When she came, the first days was very difficult to break the habit. And we began to pray and seek God. And I'm glad to report this morning that after 6 months that she has been with us, she was baptized in water a few weeks ago. She's totally delivered from the drugs. I want to report to you that Paloma, the little girl, she's doing fine. She's not drug addicted anymore. God has delivered the baby also. And praise the Lord. And Erica said, you know, Pastor, when I leave the center, I want to become a missionary. I want to become a missionary. People that hang out around me, they want to become missionaries. Oh, I want to pray for you this morning. Would you pray for the ministry of Teen Challenge? Would you remember Teen Challenge in your prayers? Would you remember the country of Brazil? It cost me about $29 a month to have a boy, a girl in one of our centers. Less than a dollar a day. $29 a month. Maybe this morning the Holy Spirit can speak to you and you say, Roger, I can make a check for $30 to bless you, to help keep a young man there in your center. Or maybe you can make a check for $50, $100. The Lord bless you. If you can stop by, get one of the movie will be helping me. If the brother that played the keyboard, only the keyboard player, if he can come and help me this morning, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God. How many people are going to pray for the ministry in Brazil, for Brother Roger? How many people are going to pray for the centers, for the children's home? I need your prayer. Don't have time to talk about the Amazon. Maybe I'll be talking about that in the next service. But we have a great ministry in the jungles of Brazil, in the Amazon, among the Indians. Pray for that. Would you stand this morning?